Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Join your host, Sandra Flack.
Jesus said, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." That is Mark 9:37. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Our guest today is Don Stoffel, the Orphan Sunday coordinator for Western New York, and he's on the board of directors for Bethesda Outreach, an orphanage in South Africa. Welcome to the show, Don.
Thank you, Sandra. It's great to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. I'm so excited to have someone else from New York State with a passion and a heart for children in foster care and orphans globally. So share with our listeners, how did you first get involved in advocating for orphans?
Well, that's another funny God story. My wife Fran and I were always in high-stress jobs. I was in the military for 24 years, and when I got out, I got a job with a manufacturing company here locally in Buffalo, and my wife was also working for a manufacturer where everything is always an emergency. Mm-hmm. So we were used to this high-stress environment, and in 2008, I learned that my job was being eliminated and moving to Mexico. And in 2010, my wife's job was eliminated and moving to China. So we looked at each other and were trying to figure out if we're going to look for more jobs or what we were to do. And God just put it on our hearts to pray about it. So we belong to a small Baptist church, First Baptist Church in Marilla, New York. It's just a little country church, about 300 people on a Sunday. And they had decided to send a short-term missions team to South Africa. Now, the Bethesda Outreach was founded by Pastor Richard Seyfried's uncle, David, and Richard Seyfried was our pastor at the time. So our church had been supporting Bethesda Outreach since 1994, when David Seyfried went over to look at South Africa and look at the need there. It was early in the AIDS, HIV epidemic, and he wanted to see if there was a need for foster and orphan care over there, and he found the need to be overwhelming. About statistics differ, but somewhere between 1 in 4 and 1 in 5 South Africans are infected by HIV, AIDS. Mm. So the number of orphans was overwhelming their system. So they started Bethesda Outreach, and about 10 years later, Fran and I had the opportunity to go. And our church was sending this short-term team, and within minutes of announcing that a team would go, they had filled the 12 slots. Wow. And Fran and I hadn't even heard about the trip. I happened to be walking down the hallway behind our music pastor who was going to lead the team, and one of the people that had signed up to go told them that they weren't able to go all of a sudden. So before we got to the end of the hallway, I grabbed him by the shoulder and said, "Oh, we'll go." Hmm. So in 2010, August time frame, we went, and we were there for 2 weeks, and we just fell in love with the people, the children there. The orphanage is set up with single-family homes and a Christian South African mother and father in each home, and then we placed up to 10 children with them. If they had their own biological children, there would be less than 10 orphans placed, but that was the setup. It wasn't like a real institution where you have 100 kids in one building.
Yeah, family style is definitely better for the children, we find.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they felt more like a family.
Mm.
And the house parents were encouraged to run their houses the way they saw fit. We wouldn't interfere with the way they disciplined, but we did provide a lot of training on how they should discipline. And several of the house fathers were actually pastors in small township churches. So there was devotional time every night. It was just a blessing to see. And like I said, we fell in love with not just the kids, but the house parents and the staff. And they're currently American missionaries as well as South African staff there. One of the things that we learned over the years was that the walls surrounding our complex, which is a little over 100 acres, at first they were there for safety for the kids. They were a safe place, secure. But as the kids grew from being infants and toddlers into being teenagers, the walls all of a sudden became a prison rather than a place of protection. So we've evolved over the years as to how we run the ministry. And 2 years ago, I was asked to join the board at Bethesda. And one of the first things we addressed was how we treat these kids as they age out of the system, because several of them had aged out and they walked out the gate and they didn't even know how to take a taxi or where to go. So we've focused a lot of our efforts on identifying early on in the kids' lives what their interests and their aptitudes were. We're getting more involved with separating the children who are capable mentally of going on to university, or what we would consider college, and those who tend to be more able to handle a technical training or even a manual, menial labor job in some cases. So that's been the big focus for us recently. What we're trying to do is involve local churches in South Africa, encouraging them to get involved in orphan care and encouraging them to actually open houses within the community for orphan and foster care. And we're still using Bethesda to house families, but we keep them there for anywhere from a year to 2 years and provide training for them to equip them to move off and live back in the community. So we're not trying to raise these children as American children. We're trying to raise them as successful South African children.
Mm.
So that's been a real blessing for us. We've done that ever since 2010 was the first trip that we took, and that was only 10 days, as I say. Since then, we go for 2 months a year. We spend February and March over there, and then I go back and spend the month of October over there for board meetings. So I just recently returned.
Wow. Now, is there also a school along with the Bethesda Outreach?
Yes. We opened a school initially to educate our kids, the Bethesda children. But the community expressed an interest in sending their children. So now we've opened the school up to the community children. Their parents actually pay to send them to school there because the schools in South Africa are so overcrowded. I think normally there's about 60 children in a class in a typical South African public school, where in our school we try to limit it to about 20 children per class. And right now our school goes from grade R, which is our equivalent of kindergarten here, up through grade 7. And once the children go into 8th grade, we do send them off the property to private schools in the area. But our goal is to expand the school over the next few years to include a high school so that we have the kids right up to the time that they would go on to university or go into a job.
Now, Oh, sorry. I wanted to make sure that you told the story because you had shared this with me about the mayor's daughter attending the school.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The mayor saw the quality of kids that were coming through the school, and she came and enrolled her daughter. And at the time, I think her daughter was in fourth grade. But as a result of her daughter being there and the meetings with the principal and the teacher meetings that typically go on during the year, the mayor was involved with the school, and she saw just a marked difference in the behavior and the attitude of her daughter. And she came into the principal one day and sat down and said, I can't believe the difference in my daughter. I want to know what you're doing here that caused this change in her. And they got the chance to share the gospel with her.
Hmm.
And that's just one typical story. They have that chance with every parent that comes. Currently, our enrollment for the school is about 260 kids, and we're growing that. Their school year works a little different than ours. They start their new year in January, around the middle of January, and it runs through the end of November. So they're just getting ready to finish up this school year, and they'll start next school year, 2019, mid-January.
Well, that sounds like an incredible work there in South Africa. Don, is there a website or someplace our listeners can go to learn more about Bethesda Outreach?
Yes, the website is Bethesda Outreach, just all one word, .org. And there's pages where you can read about the families, see our school, see ways to give or ways to participate. And my wife and I frequently take people with us when we travel over there. We only stay for 60 days because you can do that without a visa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting harder and harder to get visas to stay long term. The unemployment rate in South Africa, even though it's a very rich country, but there's a big contrast between the rich and the poor.
Mm.
You're either driving a Mercedes or a BMW, or you're pushing a wheelbarrow with all your possessions in it.
Wow.
So, there's, like I said, there's a big difference in the culture there.
Wow. So the website is BethesdaOutreach.org to learn more about the orphanage in South Africa there that Don is on the board of directors for. Now, about 2 years ago, you also started looking at helping local children, American kids, New York kids, who are in foster care. Tell us about your work locally.
Well, we were flying back and forth to South Africa, and several members of my family kept saying, well, why do you have to go so far to help kids? And we thought a little bit about it, and then we thought about, you know, how many kids locally do we actually fly over top of to get to South Africa? And we started doing some searches locally and found out that we live in Erie County, but we live in a portion of Erie County that's within minutes of Wyoming County, Genesee County, and Niagara County as well. And in our research, we found that Niagara and Erie counties have the highest percentage of children going into the foster care system, even higher than, you know, what you would think of as New York City or any other area in the state.
Mm.
So we saw that there's a drastic need, and then we found that within the eight counties of western New York, there's 300 children that are freed for adoption looking for permanent families. And we said, you know, we want these kids in families that are seeking Christ, mm-hmm. not in families that are seeking, you know, the world view. So we decided to look at what ministries were already out there rather than trying to start something on our own. And I ran across an article in Reader's Digest, and I wanted to share just a real short portion of it. But it says, each year Americans spend $12 billion to support a system that deprives children of hope, happiness, and love. It's says their possessions sometimes amount to what they can carry in a garbage bag. They may have a hard time recalling how many homes they've lived in or what it's like to celebrate a birthday with anyone who cares. They are foster children, typically removed from their biological parents because of abuse or neglect. 500,000 of our children are currently in foster care. Mm-hmm. What brought them there is bad enough, but the real tragedy is what happens after they enter a system rife with bureaucratic indifference. To understand just how devastating our nation's $12 billion foster care system can be, you have to see its failures through the eyes of a child. And that just grabbed me. And then I looked at the Reader's Digest, and it was from May of 1998.
Oh, wow.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm comparing these figures with what we have now and asking myself, what has changed?
Mm.
And really nothing.
Yeah.
We still have about 500,000 children in foster care here mm-hmm. in the U.S.
That's right.
And this says we spend $12 billion. Well, the latest figures I saw is that the federal government spends about $12.7 billion right now, but then the states spend another $15 billion on a system that is failing these kids. And that hasn't changed.
Mm.
So it just further convinced me that, yes, the government has a place in this, but it's the churches that need to step up
That's
and
right.
make a difference.
That's right. That's what we're all about here at Justice for Orphans. And I know those numbers are still pretty much the same. There are approximately 400,000 American kids in foster care. About 100,000 of them, a little more than that, are available for adoption. And New York has some of the highest numbers in the country. So it's
yes.
it's over 16,000 New York kids that are in foster care, and approximately 4,000 of them are available for adoption. They need permanency. So those are America's orphans. Those are New York's orphans. So what is it that your organization, are you affiliated with an organization? What are you doing out there in the Buffalo area to help these kids?
Well, in our search online, we felt that we didn't need to reinvent the wheel. There had to be something out there that worked. And so we found the Every Child Ministry. You can view that at every-child.com. It was started about 6 or 7 years ago at the chapel at Cross Point. It's a fairly large church here in our area. They have, I think, two satellite churches in addition to their main location. But it's sort of a bridge ministry. They have worked tirelessly to form relationships with the local departments of social services in Erie and Niagara County, and now we're spreading into Genesee County. We've brought along local churches. We have a large number of churches. We have organizations such as Gateway Longview and GA Family Services that are actually adoption agencies that we work with. We have a partnership with Life Song for Orphans where we can offer money to help with adoptions. And we also have a large part of the ministry dedicated to wraparound support because we realize that not every family is in a position where they can take on a foster child or adopt a child.
Right.
And my wife and I are in that same boat because of our traveling to support the ministry. We couldn't bring a child into our home, but we did start the wraparound ministry, and we have a foster family. In fact, that's where my wife is right now. We spend about 3 to 4 hours a week watching the kids on Thursday mornings so that mom can go and do her shopping, do doctor appointments, or whatever she needs to do. Sometimes it's just to get away and relax and have coffee with a friend. We take them meals occasionally, and that was our part of wraparound. But wraparound can be really whatever the people want to make it. You can take a meal to somebody once a month, once a week. We have one lady who's getting up in age, and the only thing she can do is bake cookies. So once a month, she bakes a bunch of cookies, and we get them to foster families in the area.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So everybody, you know, everybody can do something.
That's right. That is right. Love hearing about that. So the website to find out about that work is every-child.com.
That's correct.
That's correct, to find out more about that. So, Don, you're also an Orphan Sunday coordinator in the western part of New York. And I'm not sure if you know this, but this year was a record-breaking year for Orphan Sunday and Stand Sunday, with over 2,200 churches nationwide participating. That's like four times the number that checked into the Orphan Sunday map last year. So
yes, I am aware. Yeah. And we're so blessed that the church has stepped up. As coordinators, my wife and I reached out to 90 churches from the Batavia, New York area west to the Pennsylvania line. And we started back in July and August promoting Orphan Sunday. We did get a lot of responses. Some churches said, well, you know, it sounds great, but we're already into our own orphan and foster care ministries. Some churches didn't respond at all. And we had a half dozen new churches that did sign up for Orphan Sunday, and some of them had their services as early as November 4th, and we have others that are going to have them this coming Sunday. So we try to attend those churches when they have their Orphan Sunday celebrations, and we're there to answer any questions, to pass out literature. The Heart Gallery of New York gave us some cards with actual pictures of the children who are freed for adoption, and on the back there's a description of the child and what they want, what they need, their age, and then a place to write down if you're interested in learning more about the child. But again, we know that not everybody can take one of these children, so we encouraged everybody to take a card, and those who couldn't physically take a children, we just asked them to pray for these kids.
Yeah.
They're so precious.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to get involved. And Orphan Sunday really is the perfect way for a church to just begin the conversation with their congregation. And even if a church is already doing something, it's a perfect day to highlight what you're already doing in the area of foster care and adoption. So I'm thrilled because we had 24 New York check-ins on the map, and that's way more than we've had in the past. So I appreciate all of your efforts there, because it's what was such a thrill to me to see New York finally light up a little bit more than it used to on the map there. So I appreciate all that you've done with Orphan Sunday, and I'm really excited about looking towards Orphan Sunday for 2019. So Don, as we begin to wrap up today, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to hear? What's their takeaway from our conversation?
Well, it kind of goes along with what we did on Orphan Sunday. We just had a coordinators meeting on Tuesday, and one thing I tried to bring out was we want to have a culture of thinking about orphan and foster care within every church. I mean, that's, you know, James 1:27 tells us that that's what religion is all about, is caring for these kids. So you can't have a culture by bringing it up to a church once a year.
Right.
Even if you celebrate Foster Care Month in May, it's still not enough. It needs to be something that's in front of our friends, in front of our family, in front of our churches every day, and that people need to be reminded. And that's really all we can do. Then it's up to the Holy Spirit to work in people's hearts. And that's really what's on my heart, is there are enough Christians out there that, you know, you can pray for this culture to be ignited in our churches. And it would be great. I know some of the people that work for the departments of social services don't want to hear no orphans and no foster care, but I mean, that's what we've got to be praying for.
That's right. that every orphan bed be empty, as our buddy Pastor David Arruda of CAFO often says. So I know you've attended the CAFO Orphan Summit here the past few years. Will you be in Louisville, Kentucky in May?
Yes, we will.
Wonderful.
We'll be there and glad to share what we're doing with anybody who's willing to listen.
Well, it would be a great opportunity for us to meet in person. I know even though we're both in New York State, we're on sort of the opposite ends of the state. So Louisville, Kentucky, it would be for us to be able to connect and meet in person. And that would be wonderful because I too go every year for the CAFO Summit. So that would be really fun. Any last thoughts before we go, Don?
No, just remind people to pray. That's what it's going to take to get this this fire going in everybody's heart.
That's right. That's right. It is definitely the heart of the Father. So thank you, Don, for all that you're doing on behalf of orphans in Africa and for New York's foster kids. And thank you for being on the show today.
Oh, you're welcome. And we're glad to come on anytime.
Wonderful. So we also want to thank you, our listeners, for listening today. You can find more episodes of Orphans No More on our website at justicefororphansny.org. You can find it also on iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean. Just search for the show by name, Orphans No More. Be sure to follow or subscribe to the podcast. Every 25th follower gets a free bag of Greater Things Roasters Coffee, a local micro-batch brewery here based in Albany County in New York. Justice for Orphans is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you to. To learn more, visit justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.